How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast, part of the Minute Media Podcast Network. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we get into Detroit Lions training camp. We recap week one of training camp. We talk about the players we have an eye on, including Jamison Williams, the position group battles to focus on, an update from the kicker situation, and any other topic, Detroit Lions or NFL related, that are relevant, including some new quarterback contracts in the NFL. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Jameer Gibbs, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Coach, as usual, it's great to have you here.
Oh, yes, sir. Great time of year right now. All that anxiety that we're building up, getting ready for this season.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? Training camp has opened, and that's that fun time of the year for us. 4 days are in the books. No pads these first 4 days, but still a lot to see, a lot to take away. Coach, this first observation from training camp is going to surprise you. I haven't told you about it yet. We got in. I brought my daughters with me to training camp. We weren't there more than 30 seconds, and suddenly I hear, "Not the Same Old Lions podcast. I listen to you guys." And I'm like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, her name was Erin. She's from the Lansing area, I believe East Lansing." And I'm like, "That is so cool." And then she goes on to say, "You know, I love it when Coach is on the show. I love Coach's analyzation of everything. Coach, how cool is that you get the shout out from one of our listeners?"
I love it. I just keep it going. Hopefully I'm telling the truth or I know what I'm talking about, but that's good stuff, especially that, for somebody seeing you right away with the Not the Same Old Lions hat on, that's totally awesome.
That was great. Made my day. My daughters thought it was hilarious, and they appreciate it. And we appreciate the listeners. And I think we picked up another listener while we were there, sat by some great guys in the audience out there in the stands. They had some amazing Lions memorabilia with them as well. And, you know, one guy had a Roy Williams jersey from back in the day. And another guy picked up a couple Hutchinson's jerseys because they were selling them half price. And it was great. A lot of great fans there. A lot of great changes for fans, ton of improvements. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Training camp was a little bit different, though, this year than when you and I went because a couple reasons. One, they weren't in pads, but also we saw joint practices last year, which was a very different experience. And unfortunately, the Lions are only going to have one joint practice. That will be when they're in New York against the Giants. But still, there's a lot of things we could take away from this. One of the big changes I want to talk about right away is a change to Allen Park. And that's the podium. I am officially calling it the Dan Campodium because the thing is huge. And anybody else that stands behind that thing, I've seen photos of other people behind it, and they look quite small. I'm thinking a step stool might be needed for other people to use that thing. Have you seen that?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, I couldn't believe when he was stretching his arms out, trying to touch both sides of it, which he did on the old one, he was getting out there. They were definitely measuring his wingspan for the combine on that one.
They probably were. And I think they wanted something as sturdy as possible because that guy, you know, he had a reputation for rattling the microphone without touching the microphone.
Yeah. And I think it's sturdy enough. They could probably jump up and down on it or something. But and hopefully we don't get to that unless he's so excited because of a big win.
I hear you on that. And speaking about hearing things, let's hear Dan Campbell's opening comments that he made when training camp kicked off.
I think we're ready to go. Team knows what to expect. They understand the work that's got to be put in again. And, you know, we got a good group. And so it begins. You know, I talked to him last night, and it was really like it's been. And that's, and it's all about the work. We don't live off reputation. We live off of work. And that's what's gotten us where we're at. It's been a long, hard road to get to where we're at right now. And there's a price to be paid. And so we got to go pay it again. That's the message. And it'll always be the message.
Now, Coach, of those comments, what jumps out to me the most is that he says, we don't live off reputation, we live off hard work. And if you're a fan of the Lions, you've got to love that attitude, that tone setter. I mean, as a coach yourself, how does that speak to you? How does that sound to you hearing that come from the Detroit Lions head coach?
Well, when I was coaching, whether it was at the high school level or at Saginaw or whatever, it was always about don't read the print. Don't listen to what the people are saying about you. You know, you got to go out and work. I don't care. You can be, you know, and I can remember years, you guys are rated. You guys are, you know, the third rated team in this. That's great. We're a third rated team in the state. What's that getting us? And I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that's mentality. You know, that's mentality that we knew came coming in with Dan Campbell. And what the mentality keeps building up is that these guys, you have to prove it. You have to show yourself. People can talk about how great you are. But if you don't do it every day on Sunday and every day in practice and every day at dinner and at breakfast and anytime you're with your family, then it doesn't matter what they say about you. So I think I retweeted something right away, hashtag that. I think it was after J-Mo threw up and go. I used to say throw and go all the time. And I think I retweeted that. That's the work ethic. That's what we want. We don't want to live on what the press is saying about us.
No, I hear that. And, you know, another great little nugget Campbell threw out was he talked about how he was on another team and they had gone 12-4 one year. And then the following season, they returned like all the same guys and they went 7-9 the next year. And he chalked it up to, you know, little things that the coaches did differently. They kind of let them relax in some situations instead of pushing them. And, you know, I mean, we heard his remarks right after the NFC Championship game of how it's going to be harder to get back. And so he already had the right mindset. And it's amazing. It's optimistic to hear that coming from the coach. It gives you a little bit more confidence in what's to come this season versus just thinking we're going to be good because of what we brought back. But you know they're going to work just as hard, if not even harder, to get to that next level.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And you know, it's the old statement, take care of the little things and the big things will take care of themselves. It's huge. And you know, the thing we keep talking about, and I don't remember which player I heard this week was talking about, but you look at the staff, these guys are all ex-NFL guys that have gone through stuff like Dan Campbell just talked about. And I think that's the thing that, you know, they can give them examples. You know, Dan Campbell in a meeting can say, hey, you guys don't want to go hard? Guess what? You know, the following year after we were 12-4, we're 9-7, they've lived it. They lived that experience. And I think that's the biggest thing that these players are taking away from it. And again, I've read it numerous times about they've talked about these guys were all dogs. These guys were all in the league. These guys have gone through training camps. These guys have, won playoff games. And I think that's what he's saying there. And it's something that they can live on. That's something that they can bring up daily if they don't think it's getting through to them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's start talking about camp. I want to talk about Jameson Williams. Let's start right there with him. It is obvious to me that he has become a crowd favorite, a fan favorite. And let's be honest, there's probably a couple dozen crowd favorite, fan favorites at this point. And it's pretty amazing to see that. You can see the excitement in the air with Lions fans. But before practice even started, he was out there doing some extra, you know, catching drills, working on his hands. And the crowd gave him a big roar of appreciation and loving his presence right before practice. And, you know, as Jameson, what one might expect, he gave the love right back to the crowd. And it was just awesome. You can see his excitement. You can see how much he wants to be there and he wants to succeed. And, you know, speaking with him this summer, you know, he talked about wanting to catch touchdowns and win football games. And we saw some great plays by him at camp. One that caught my eye the most was he had a catch over the middle, and then he saw that burst of speed cutting through the middle group, and then he didn't avoid contact, which doesn't shock us knowing the type of player he is. And he and Iffy had a little bit of a collision, which was nice. You could hear it in the stands, that collision. And another great thing I saw was after a play, Jared Goff and J-Mo were talking on the sideline. And it reminded me so much of what we saw last year after a play when Laporta and Goff were talking it up a bunch on the sideline for a while after a play, just discussing different nuances of things. And again, I think the average person knows how important it is for the quarterback and the receiver or tight end to be on the same page. But what do they talk about in those situations, and what is it that they're trying to really kind of focus on?
Well, I think the thing he is J-Mo, you know, off the point of that, he's becoming a sponge. He's soaking everything up. And I think that's the thing that they're talking about, that, you know, I'll talk about what I think they're talking about or what we probably haven't. I was watching some highlight videos of him running his pass routes on air. And I'm going to go back to the Baltimore Raven game last year when J-Mo was wide open. You and I were at that game. He was wide open and the ball landed incomplete or whatever, because J-Mo kind of drifted on his route. Remember, you remember that, right? Because we talked about
it.
Everybody's talking, oh, the Ravens destroyed him. And I'm like, God, Laporta drops the pass. J-Mo doesn't run the route right. But anyways, going back to his route and how crisp they're becoming. When he makes his cut, he's sinking his hips. When he makes his cut, he's working back to the ball, which gives you separation on man coverage. And that's the stuff that they're talking about. That's the stuff where Goff says, maybe you need to work back a little bit, or maybe you need to work a little bit to the sidelines a little more. Or, hey, when you catch that ball, put your inside foot in the dirt and get upfield. And I think, you know, those are the things that you hear that the people in the stands don't hear, because those are the things that turn into touchdowns or huge catches or first downs. So that's what they're doing. And Goff's telling them, hey, I like to throw the ball, you know, just outside the numbers, and just make sure you work back. Maybe you need to work back at a yard and a half. And so that's the stuff. And again, when I was watching him run that stuff on air again, we got to work. We got to show it in the film and in the game and scrimmages and stuff like that. But he's coming back to the ball and his cuts are on dimes. And I can't wait to see it live.
Oh, I'm excited to see it as well, along with that speed burst once he gets the ball too. I mean, we saw that. We actually saw that in camp with a running play where he got around the corner. And I was like, man, this is going to be an exciting time. Coach, I want to talk about some other wide receiver observations. And most of these are going to be about guys a little bit further down the depth chart. And we know training camp's a little different this year because so many of those starting positions are already solidified. And the guys putting on a show at the most recently were Maurice Alexander and Isaiah Williams. You know, if you were on social media at all, you saw a great catch by Alexander where he laid out for that thing. He had another one over the middle where he had a battle with Kendall Vildor, and it wasn't an easy one. And it was, you know, the ball bounced a little bit and Vildor wasn't able to get to it, and Alexander grabbed it. And so the concentration from Alexander was great. And I know he's down on the depth chart a bit, but there are a lot of open positions. It's very fluid down on the depth chart there. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. Isaiah Williams, the undrafted free agent out of Illinois, he had a great catch over the middle. And then after practice, he was tracking the ball really well on a deep pass. And I liked just seeing the tracking part, which we talked about with Jamison Williams as well, on tracking that deep ball. So those guys were really exciting to me. Do you have anything to add on either of those players?
Well, Williams had some great numbers at Illinois. So, and you know, you and I talked about when they signed him, we were like, I was excited because he's going to be one of those, you know, workaholic guys that's going to try to make the team. This is the best part of the competition. Yeah, you have your starters, but you know that you're one play away from being a starter. And the thing with those guys, you know, they had a great practice while you're there. They have to stack them. And what I mean by stacking them is it has to be day after day after day, rep after rep after rep. So, it's good to see that. And what's that going to do? It's also going to push the veterans. It's going to push the guys that supposedly on the depth chart are above them. And maybe we get a surprise out of one of those guys. Because, you know, we talked about that earlier when we talked about the roster coming in. So, you know, great for them. Hopefully they continue to stack them and we get to the point where we're cutting people that we are sad for. But we say, man, that dude must be really good. So.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Those aren't the only two receivers that I noticed a little bit. You know, Antoine Green and Donovan Peoples-Jones. They didn't have any major highlights, but they, you know, they each connected with Goff on mid-range to short stuff during 7-on-7s. Goff, you know, he had some lower passes because not in the ground or anything, but, you know, Goff's MO has kind of been keep the ball low so it doesn't go high, go off your hands of your receiver and become an interception. And, you know, Carlton Davis was on Green during his play, and you know, Green came up with the catch, which that's good because we know Davis is a quality player. And later, Hendon Hooker connected with Green on a deep route. Now, Green wasn't covered on that route, but it showed you the timing thing. And, Coach, we've talked about it a lot, the size of these two players. But let me tell you, when you're there in person, you really notice it. It's really evident. And I'm hoping, you know, one, if not both of these guys can take a step forward. And again, I know we all talking about wanting more. Hey, could the Lions bring in another receiver or something? But I got to tell you, don't sleep on what we already have in the clubhouse with the wide receivers. One or two of these guys could really emerge and, you know, take some valuable snaps this year for the team.
No, I totally agree with you on that. And I think that's the thing, you know, Peoples-Jones, we talked about it. You know, Peoples-Jones had, you know, they had that good season 2 years ago with Baker Mayfield throwing to him. You know, that was one of Baker's favorite. Then he became out of favorite with you know, the quarterback situation last year. So, you know, he may be the guy. And again, we got to remember, we drafted Green on the recommendation of a guy who coached against him in college. So I think those are things. And again, big bodies that we need to, you know, we need to have that can get downfield, but can catch the ball over the middle. So, you know, and again, it's looking good when you start looking at that receiver depth.
Yeah. And you know, what makes me want is it's all going to point to the preseason. I've not been this excited for preseason in a while because I want to see what a lot of these guys can do. And the next guy is probably the guy we want to see the most that I want to talk about is Hendon Hooker. He looked pretty solid. Let me tell you, Nate Sudfeld looked pretty solid as well for that matter. I know practices need to stack, but Hooker connected on a number of throws. He did use his mobility at one point to move to the right to buy more time before connecting on a short route. Another play, he did hold the ball a little bit too long, and Jalen Reeves-Maven, he jumped up and batted that pass out as he applied pressure. But we're seeing more things from Hendon Hooker, and I read a very interesting article from Justin Rogers. He talked about how during OTAs, Hooker had like a dislocated finger or something, which probably contributed to why some of the reports came out that Hooker wasn't looking super great during those early OTAs. But I'm telling you, he's looking much improved from what I saw earlier, and it gives you excitement. It makes you really excited about the first preseason game.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think so, and you're going to see both those guys. The nice thing about Septal is he's been around. You know, that's going to help us. I mean, he's going to be that, you know, that whether he's the second or third guy. Hooker may end up, you know, on practice squad again. Who knows? You know, heck, he might as well play underneath Goff for 3-4 years, and then maybe he'll be the highest paid quarterback. Just because they have one good season. Anyways, we're going to leave that one alone. But I think, you know, and I think that's the situation with him. He's talented. You know, we went and got him. You know, we went and got him in the draft after an injured field season. So, I totally agree with you. I look forward to seeing those two guys during those three preseason games. It should be fun.
Yeah, I know. We're already thinking playoffs. It's on our mind. But yeah, we got to take one game, one step at a time, as you always preach. So, All right, let's flip to some observations on the defense. Now, most of my time was spent watching the offense, but I mentioned Germ. He looked great. It looked like Emmanuel Mosley was playing a little bit inside, and it'll be interesting to see where he ends up playing. I could see him switching between inside and outside depending on team needs, and that's something we might even talk about yet before this this episode ends. But I want to talk about Amon-Ra St. Brown and Terrion Arnold. They were on each other, and when I saw them play, and I saw two very specific plays that I remember, and each of them won a play. Now, not a shock that St. Brown won a play, but he did with Arnold on him. He caught a nice pass, nice low pass like Goff likes to throw. Would have been probably a 9 to 12 yarder, and St. Brown went down, made the play, and that was great, as expected. But there was another play. It was a great pass by Goff to St. Brown, and Arnold did everything to break up that play and succeeded. I mean, he did not give up. And let me tell you, it drew a great roar from the crowd. Everybody got into it. And then St. Brown's getting into it, trying to plead his case to the crowd. Either way, it was a really nice move from our first round rookie, who we are all hoping will stake his claim on one of those outside starting positions. So that's exciting to see that from Terrion.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and again, that's one of those situations that, you know, when we were there last year, you get a little concerned about the corners and stuff like that. Let's go back to Mosley. I read a great article on him last week. He was talking about how he made the 49ers was that he could play inside and out. And he made his stake by playing that inside, you know, nickel or inside slot, whatever, you know, slot corner, whatever, whoever calls it, whatever they call it. And so I think that's one of the biggest things with that. And, you know, that's a guy that just wants to, you know, he's been through two surgeries in 2 years, and he just, you know, what a great class. And that's that feel good story that we hope he comes back and plays, and we can talk about, man, look what this guy fought through to get back on the field. And then Arnold is just, I've been watching his vlog. I think he calls it his rookie vlog. If you watch it, it is, yeah, it's hysterical and it's great. And you can see why Nick Saban and Nick's wife loved him so much, and about he's not cocky. He's just a good hearted human being that wants to play football and win football games. So glad we drafted that guy right now.
Oh, for sure. You know, Mosley, is just great seeing him out there moving and getting the work in right now at the beginning of camp, which means there's that much more time for him to grow in this defense and learn the coverages and the schemes. And then, you know, Arnold going up against one of the best. And so when you're covering one of the best, it's going to make you that much better. I've got to see Enos Rakestra out there. He was, the second team covering Tom Kennedy, had some really nice tight coverage, forcing an incompletion, forcing the offense on that drill to settle for a field goal. Which kind of leads us into the biggest injury news of the week, which unfortunately is the Michael Badgley news. We know he is out for the season with a hamstring injury. Jake Bates, the kicker we signed from the Michigan Panthers after the UFL season ended, it's his show now. You know, we saw him warming up, and he hit early three very deep kicks. It looked like 55, 52, and 49 from my angle, and he had tons of leftover range on that 55-yarder. But later on, they went the other direction, and he missed, I believe it was two or three of his last four attempts. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because right now he's the only kicker in camp. The Lions have worked out four others. Nobody has been signed yet. And I expect they said when the timing's right, they'll bring somebody in, and I expect that they will. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with Bates. I'm rooting for him. I think everyone's rooting for him. We recognize the leg strength. I think it's going to come down to the accuracy, to the dependability, and that's where we're going to want to see him get a lot of work in those preseason games to see what it's looking like.
Yeah, that's definitely going to help him. I kind of like that they brought guys in, but they've not signed anybody just because. And I think that's, you know, giving Bates some confidence, build his confidence up. And if not, we're going to have to go out and fight and get a free agent. But, again, how many years has he been kicking a football? You know, that's the thing. The guy pounds the football, but, you know, he's hardly played. And he got the experience kicking with the Panthers, which I think is huge. I saw that 55-yarder on film from about three different angles. Wow. He pounded that one, and there was a lot of clearance. So You know, and again, he did it in the league. You know, he did it with the Panthers with those 60 yarders. So, but yeah, let's see what happens. Play it out here. That's another one that we're going to enjoy watching during the preseason to see how he does. And hopefully we get into positions where he has to make a big kick or two.
Yeah, you know, I think every Lions fan, the best possible situation is he becomes our kicker and he dials in on that accuracy and we're with him for a long time. You know, I was very high and optimistic on Michael Badgley. Loved the work he did for us last year, and it was going to be a tough job for Bates to unseat him. Unfortunately, with Badgley being sidelined, it's Bates now. And again, like you said, they haven't signed any other kickers. What we know, the carousel they've had where they've had Cyber, they've had Riley Patterson, they had a host of other guys, and then Badgley and Patterson split time. And, you know, we even had John Parker Romo in at one point. So I don't know what it's going to look like, but I also want to consider this. The Lions, you know, they might bring another guy into camp just to have another leg in there as well and someone to compete. But, you know, the guy who's on our team might not be there until the season starts. So I'm not saying Jake Bates is going to leave, but last year we kept Badgley on the practice squad while Patterson was the starter. And so the Lions could bring in somebody for the practice squad when all is said and done. And it could be a player who's currently on another roster right now. I mean, James Turner, the guy we signed as an undrafted free agent, is with the Packers right now, but there's no guarantee he's going to win the starting job over there. And if he gets released, he may choose to come back over here if that's the direction the Lions go. So to be determined, but I think everybody's rooting for Jake Bates. We love the power of that leg and hoping the accuracy continues to get dialed in and he keeps working on strategies. And, you know, I see him as likely a very hardworking person who wants to realize this potential dream. So let's see what happens, especially in the preseason games.
Yep.
Coach, a small skirmish broke out, you know, a little bit of blocking down to the ground, middle of the field. You know, I was watching it in real time and I couldn't quite tell who it was. I saw it happening and I'm like, oh, they're not stopping. They're not stopping. Then you saw it all go. Now I've read some of the players' names as reported by others, but I couldn't tell who it was for sure. So I'm not going to repeat the names, but either way, it was over before you knew it. I don't make a big deal out of this, to be honest with you. It seems like the Lions have the right mindset to overcome things like this quickly. And I think that's part of the culture the Lions have focused on building with these high character guys, which is why I think it's so important having the right guys in, that something like this really isn't a big deal. Is that kind of how you see it?
Oh, for sure. That's just guys competing. You know, I grew up, you know, with my best friend, we were like that, man. We fought all the time. I was best man at his wedding. He was best man in mine. I mean, and that's what the thing is. You want that part as a coach. You know, you're probably yelling at them to stop, but as a coach, you're in the meeting going, do you see the dogs going at it? Oh my God. And that's the stuff you don't hear from the coaches, but I know it happened in that locker room or in the coaches room. And they also probably talked, you know, they talked about, okay. And each one of those guys probably looked at each other, probably talked to each other, say, hey, sorry, man, sorry, bro, you know, just trying to get better. And I think that's the stuff that you live off of. That's the stuff that produces great football teams. When you can skirmish, fight in the playground and then turn around and give your guy a hug. And those are probably be two of the guys holding one of these trophies up that we win soon or shortly or whenever. I got to quit talking like that, but you know what I'm saying?
I hear you on that. Well, let's go over to coach speak for just a minute, because I got to witness something really fun with Aaron Glenn. And I got to tell you, I think he misses Deuce Staley on the team. I really do, because he and Deuce had some animated communicating. Yeah. But you know what? There's a chance Aaron Glenn may have found his Deuce Staley replacement. And coming from an unlikely person on the offense, Jameson Williams. Yeah, man, the two of them were having an extremely animated exchange, and it sure looked fun. And if I'm remembering correctly, J-Mo was getting ready to run a play even. And there's Aaron Glenn jawing it up with him over there. And I tell you, it was a lot of fun to watch, and it brought me right back to the Glenn and Staley moments.
I used to love that, especially we got to see that during Hard Knocks, the two of those guys just talking smack to each other. And you always do that, and it's good that most kind of stepping up going, let's go, you know, you can't stop me. And of course, Glenn's going to dial something up to let him know that he's still smarter than him. And and he could cover him. He might still have a shot, but anyways, that's good. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Again, observations were a little different this year, as we know most of the starters are. And so we're just looking for those youngsters who are going to contribute. Another thing we talked about, though, was how some of these guys are playing different positions. And we've talked about this for a while. I mean, we've looked at the receiving core and said, okay, people are so concerned about, do they have enough receivers? And we're like, well, Sam LaPorta is a receiver, right? Jahmyr Gibbs is a receiver. David Montgomery is a receiver. I'm like, we might have running backs playing wide receivers playing running backs, and tight ends playing fullbacks, right? I mean, so, and we're seeing the same thing in the secondary, I think, with, you know, Branch likely moving back to safety, Emmanuel Mosley maybe moving inside or outside. We see the movements on the defensive line where James Houston is either up or back. And so they're trying a lot of things. And, you know, I heard somebody else use the word positionless football. And, you know, the Lions always talk about, we're drafting offensive weapons, we're drafting football players. And this versatility really is something that helps them with depth down the charts. And, you know, can you speak to that a little bit about what you're seeing with the Lions and how this can help them?
Well, I think that's huge. You know, they're trying all these things out now to see if they can do that. But if you can get a person on the field, a hybrid person on the field, you know, a Branch or a Houston. I saw Betts, the kid from Canada, playing outside backer too. If you can get that to where they'll understand the defense better, for one. For two, you don't have to do personnel changes. And it's a huge concept to be able to have a couple hybrid guys that you could line up in a certain situation and then move that hybrid guy out before the snap of the ball. And I think that's one of the things that Glenn, I think that's one of the things with his defense concept, is he wants guys that can do numerous things, and we're not going to get hurt when they do them. And so, and again, it helps with the depth. You know, again, a guy goes down, somebody can fill in. A guy, you know, we can use him. We can put him in that position. So it's going to make the defense that much better. And I know I've read some things where the guy players are saying our goal is to have the best defense in the NFL. I mean, we wouldn't have heard that last year, right? I mean, I just don't think we would have heard that last year. We'd have heard people maybe say it, but not believe it. And I think that's what Glenn has installed in these guys right now, that they are believing they could be, and they want to be, the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, and, you know, that depth is what's going to make the difference on this team. It's not just the star players, we know that, but a really good football team. The difference between a good football team and a great football team is the depth of talent, that when one player's out for one reason or another, you've got someone else that can fill in. And having somebody that's reliable that can fill in as well, that it's not like, oh, goodness, what are we doing out here? And it creates a big hole on either the offense or the defense. So we've said it, you've said it for a while, man. There's going to be some tough cuts when training camp comes soon. It's going to be really tough. So that won't be a fun time. But right now, it's a lot of fun to see how many more pieces, how many new faces we have competing at some of these positions.
For sure. Yeah, it's fun.
Coach, briefly just want to talk about something you alluded to, which was a quarterback contract. Two quarterbacks got paid this week, Tua Tagovailoa and Jordan Love. They both got paid some significant money, and I believe they both got paid more money than Jared Goff. And so, you know, I don't want to give any bulletin board material to anybody of any sort, but I will tell you, Lions fans who were worried how much Jared Goff was getting paid, my question is, do you feel better now?
That's a great question for me.
I mean,
yeah, I know what you're saying. It's great, but that's the, you know, we set the bar. So these other teams had to raise it to show their core. They believe in their quarterback more than our quarterback. And so now that's going to cost them money, and then, you know, and free agency and people signing down the road. And the good thing is we do have bulletin board material. It's for Jared Goff again, because he's getting doubted, and I love it.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I looked at the stuff on SpotTrack, and, you know, the going rate for a quarterback, the top eight quarterbacks make an average of $51 million or more a year. And out of those eight contracts, they were all signed either this year or last year. And so we know it's the most valuable position. I mean, that has to be the case. Otherwise, you know, Daniel Jones wouldn't be making $40 million a year if it wasn't considered the most valuable position. So you're going to pay the person. And you know, I'm not going to say so-and-so is the best quarterback ever in history, because even though we have some people that are going out and saying, oh, this guy's going to be the greatest ever, I will just go back to the Brad Holmes quote. It's a lot easier to get worse than better at quarterback. And I think you can even forget about that to a degree, because as Dan Campbell said, Jared Goff, you're good enough for Detroit. Paraphrasing, of course.
For sure. And yeah, I love it.
All right, Coach. Yeah, like we said, no pads in practice this past week. They start with them Monday, bright and early. So there'll be padded practices. That not ratchets things up just one more bit. How are you doing with a little bit more contact, a little bit more physicality and the pads? And again, they'll do the joint practice against the Giants. I wanted to add back to the training camp experience. It was fun for everyone. It's fun for kids, fun for adults. You know, my daughters were there. They had a great time. They not only got to do some face painting, get some balloons. They stayed after and they were so hoping to get autographs. Okay. And I'm being the dad, like being realistic here. Like you might get one, you might not get any. They got multiple, and you know why? It's not because of them. It's because of the Detroit Lions players, man. You know, David Montgomery, James Houston, Parker Hesse, Isaiah Williams, all, and many others were all taking extra time to interact with the fans. They're even taking photos with fans. Enos Rakestraw came over. I mean, it was great. And just seeing the photos that people took, the autographs, and you know, just kind of giving them the appreciation for what they're doing. They appreciated the crowd for being there. So I give a huge shout out to the Lions players for that. When we were there, you know, it was hot and you couldn't escape it. We went, they have awnings, they have coverings now over the stands. I also realized they actually have chairs, not just bleachers, which makes it more comfortable, but I will give you a heads up, makes it a little bit harder to get a seat, because I don't know if there's fewer seats or not, but you can't squeeze two people into one seat or three people into two seats like you could with the bleachers, right? So my recommendation is get there early. And if you want to be out of the sun, go in the back half of the bleachers, because about a half hour to an hour in, that part's in the shade and the front's still in the sun, but got a great view. And those sideline bleachers is where you saw most of the action, but a lot of people love being on the other side as well, where you're up near the action. Just a great job by everything the Lions did. You could see the improvements right away. And there were some Lions legends on hand. I didn't get a chance to speak with them, but I have spoken with Corey Schlesinger before he was there, as was Joique Bell. And they were right near the entrance. So a lot of great experiences at the camp.
That's great. Great to hear. And that's, you know, building a culture. Building a culture. And that's what the Lions are doing. I mean, like I told you, you know, my buddies that are Cleveland and Ravens and Steelers. And, you know, I talking to them over the last 2-3 weeks. And every one of them said if their team doesn't win it, they hope the Lions do. So, I mean, that's you know, that's Rod Wood and Campbell and Holmes and Spielman and the Ford family. And it's just awesome that they're doing that. So it's a great experience for everybody.
That it is. Coach, any final thoughts before we get out of here, wrap this thing up?
No, just looking forward to the pads. Hopefully the boys, prayers for the boys to all stay healthy. And what a great time of the year. You got the Lions and the Olympics. Oh, my! I don't know if I have enough recording room on my Hulu.
Yeah, I hear you on that. A lot of great stuff going on. Coach, as always, man, thanks for being here. Thanks for all your insights.
Thanks again, Matt. Appreciate it.
And thank you, folks, so much for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at NotTheSameOldLions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, please tell your friends about the show and subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.